Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, things are fine in Karachi. How's everything in South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, it's warming up quite a bit. How's the rain there in Karachi? Has it stopped? Still continuing?
Yes, alhamdulillah, it's stopped. Last night it had stopped. We had mild, cool breezes. Alhamdulillah. Today it's muggy, but no rain. Alhamdulillah.
Mm. Mufti Saab, just diving straight into our topic, which we said we're going to speak about this year, is this rogue individual, Valentina Gomez. And strange enough, or I don't know if it's strange enough for the casual general American, but a Republican candidate from Texas. And we've heard many times, and I think you've also shared with us, Texas and its discrimination when it comes to Islam. We know we've got certain family friends there as well, and they always mention to us and say that you could be just driving on the road wearing a scarf, or you could just be walking and with your Muslim attire, and people will just come and they'll have certain derogatory words that will be passed towards you, hurled towards you. So, Mufti Saab, with regards to this Valentina Gomez, you can just give us a little bit of Texas and their Islamophobia that takes place there generally, because you've been, I think you may have been to Texas. Is this correct?
No, I've waited in the airport, change over to another flight in Texas. Alhamdulillah, I've never been there and stayed there. Yeah, it's the largest pig farms are in Texas.
Okay.
So that tells you something.
Mm.
All right. Oil is there. The Bushes, they're big oil men. That's why they're very close with Saudi. So Texas used to be an independent country. It used to be part of Mexico, and now it's part of America. So they have their own particular identity that other states don't have.
Mm.
Okay, they used to be part of another country. Then they got independence from that country, and they became their own independent country. And then they joined America. Okay, in that order. They are Bible. Most of them are Protestant, very deeply into the Bible. You'll see lots of signs about how they love Jesus, okay, and believing that Isa alayhi salam is God. Okay, they're very strong in that. And again, independent, and people who like to carry guns. All right, they have the basketball teams there. A friend of mine, he was in the National Guard serving in Texas, and he would go to the National Basketball Association games, and men were coming to the games with pistols on their hip, all right, carrying their guns with them. They're independent. They're very strongly Christian, and they're not only anti-Muslim, but they're anti-Jewish, anti-Catholic, okay? Mm. Anything other than white Protestant, white male Protestant over there. They're very strong for Donald Trump.
Okay, and you've mentioned about these pig farms. So, you know, when you say something, we must check it up to get more information on this here. So I just see it's Texas is filled with pigs. It's not strange why this has come about, where you're getting such individuals so proudly and boastfully going in and putting the Quran Sharif to flames. We as Muslims, we must put on record, you can put the flames on the you can put flames to the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, and that is in chapter 15, that is Surah Al-Hijr in verse number 9, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. We, you can see how many times the word we is emphasized there, because Allah is saying that we protect the Quran Sharif. We reveal the Quran Sharif and we are its protectors. So you can burn as many as you want to. There'll just be more kuffar. In fact, when I went on this website, the strange thing is, in between, it's all speaking of how this woman went in and burned the Quran Sharif. But in between, everything is calling you to read the Quran Sharif. There's adverts there. Do you want to read the Quran? Here's the Quran. So this is exactly what it means, where Allah tells you in another verse in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 32. The intention is this year. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They wish to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. So they use the news, and that's the mouthpieces. But Allah rejects this. وَيَعْبَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهِ. Except that He, جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ, will complete His nur. وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even though the kuffar, they grow in dislike and hatred. And you can just hear the comments that is passed by this putrid woman, Valentina Gomez. And what she says she wants to put an end to Islam in Texas. She said, I will end Islam in Texas. And she even is pleading to God to help her. And she says, Muslims are committing murders to capture Christian countries. Mufti Saab, can you comment on this?
Yeah, anything to divert away from Israel. All right. We're not killing anybody other than the Muslims. Okay. Sadly, as I said, but Texas is also where our sister Asha Siddiqui is. Okay. She's in prison in Texas. All right. So there's big problems in Texas. And that woman, she's nothing special. Other people feel like her. All right, but they just won't admit it. She's probably being paid by APEC. Okay, so this is, I feel, another diversion away from the genocide in Gaza that American politicians, some of them still believe that it is not true. They don't believe that that the Muslims are starving there. At least that's what they're saying, because they're being paid to say that. And I just look at this woman here as being a diversion. There's no reason for her to do something like this right now. She's running for election in 2026, November of 2026. So that's more than a year from now. So why is she burning the Quran now? Mm. All right. As you know, as we've been talking and we're seeing how people are coming out speaking against what Israel is doing, for the first time in my lifetime, okay? And again, because of the social media and the independent media, okay, not the mainstream media, the opinions of Americans are changing about what's happening in Gaza, okay? And Israel can't stop it. So I look at it like that. So she's just throwing out there as diversion. But her election is more than 13 months away. What is she doing? Why is she doing this now? Hmm. Okay, it's not to get votes. All right. So that's why I look at it.
Okay, and as you are more acquainted with this than us here in South Africa, this attachment with her to the Republican, what message or signal does this give? Or because for us, it just seems a bit blur. So if you can just make us understand a little bit.
Well, that's Bush's party, okay? And Trump's party, MAGA. They call themselves MAGA voters, Make America Great Again. She supports Trump. And Trump feels like this. And what is Trump doing in Washington? All the black people who don't have homes, either put in jail, all right, or deported or whatever. The immigrants, the people who weren't born here, or people who are here on visa, all right, we're checking, they said 55 million people Jesus to see whether they said anything negative about Israel. And if they did, they're going to be deported. Right? So the Republicans, they are like this. They are, Republicans are considered conservative, all right? And Democrats are considered liberal, all right? And liberal is a dirty word in America. Everybody, not everybody, but especially Trump's people, the Republicans, they feel conservative is the way to be. Keep America, make America great again, the way it was before. And the problem with America is too much immigration, okay? Mm. Not realizing the fact that everybody there is an immigrant, okay? The people that are there are not the people that built, are not the people that were there 400 years ago. Mm. Okay, you stole the land from the Native Americans. You brought the African over there to work the land for free. It's for slavery. Okay, and now you're talking about make America great again. Well, it was never great. You stole the land, and then you forced people to work for free for 400 years. So what kind of country is that? And you did a genocide on the Native Americans, and you're allowing the, and you're help funding the Israelis to do another genocide on the people of Gaza. So what's great about this country?
Mm. Another question here is, what are the Islamic organizations of America doing about this? Or is it still too fresh for them to comment? I know, and we've spoken about, we've had programs about this previously, warning the Ummah about, I'm going to say it like an American, or try at least to say it like an American, Omar Suleiman, Solomon, how do you say it? Omar Suleiman, is that correct?
Omar Suleiman.
Okay. Omar.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what is he doing about it? Isn't he from Texas? Is there anything coming from his Al-Yaqeen Institute?
Haven't heard anything yet. But CARE, the Congress of, I forgot what they call this now, religious something Islamic society. The largest Muslim active group is also in Texas, all right? The last time something happened like this, they sponsored give the Quran away for free, okay? When that minister, I think his name was Jones, he threatened to burn the Quran. So they came out with, the Muslim organization came out with the idea, well, let's do dawah, using the Quran as dawah, and giving it away for free.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the worst idea that you can do, all right? As Muslims, we can only handle the Quran and wuzu, and the non-Muslim who's perpetually in the napa, all right, giving him a Quran, those people with bad intentions, they're able to get the Quran for free and try to burn it or do something bad to it without paying for it. The Muslim leadership, as far as Dawah is concerned, is confused.
Mm.
Confused. They're ineffective. And they're useless. Their efforts are more on the interface, bringing everybody together. Whenever something happens bad, we condemn it. If it happens to a Jewish synagogue, we condemn it. If it happens to a Christian church, we condemn it. And so now we'll expect Christians and Jews to condemn what this woman is saying. And I think they'll probably spend a lot of their time doing that, expecting other government officials and other religious organizations to condemn what this woman did. But I don't believe, myself, I don't believe they have any kind of action plan.
Mm. And exactly, you've just raised the right point here at the right time, because all of this push in South Africa is about this interfaith. And I just saw yesterday, going through the details, yeah, you know, our mother city here in South Africa is Cape Town. So just not this past weekend, but the previous weekend, they had a huge interfaith forum that took place. And an organization, I'm going to say it on air, is called UKSA. Apparently, UKSA, they claim, this is what they claim, we have all Muslim organizations do not adhere, they do not accept this fact. And they could even be taken to task for saying such things, as their sister organization or child organization said a similar thing previously, where they claim to say that they represent most of the Muslims. This is the kind of image they give. So this company, UKSA, which has many other organizations affiliated with it. So they say that no, they are an umbrella organization of South Africa, and they represent many other theological formations within the different nine provinces of South Africa. This is what they claim. We totally reject this because of this total fact that you have interfaith relations. And the claim that they make is, we do not understand what they are doing. This is what they claim. So we just pose one question, because they say, let's just give a fair chance to them. They say that, no, what we are doing is we are forming the strong bond with the non-Muslims, so there's no Islamophobia. We can already see how America has been working with this, and you can see it failing already, because our Qurans are being burnt like never before, and to such degrees and such extents, with so much of pride and arrogance, and knowing well that nobody can touch them. That's the way they're promoting it. So coming back here, you have this organization, UKSA, and they say that last week in KZN, they had a program for ulama saying that we need to prepare our ulama for lectures on the genocide and all of this. So, okay, fair and well, good promotions. We didn't attack. We didn't say anything. Excellent. But now your president goes and prays in interfaith with these individuals. And I've seen it this morning, just to confirm it again. In Israel, they have an interfaith center. So Israel doesn't want anything to do with Islam. But you have an interfaith center, and this is to build relations with Muslims. That is their understanding of interfaith. So two questions we raise here is, one is, why are you praying with people from Israel? Don't we say apartheid Israel here in South Africa? We have to say that everywhere else in the world, people make sure to say that, so that it gives the impression they are not a country that can stand themselves. But you praying with them, you indulging in projects with them, what message are you giving? This means you acknowledge them, acknowledging them to work with them. And on the other side, with the right hand, you are saying, let's now work and prepare our ulama. So these are major contradictory statements, contradictory projects. And it's just exposing itself more and more as we move forward. So we totally reject. That's the one question. How can you work with such individuals? And number two, what benefit has it brought for us? What benefit has it brought to Palestine? This whole interfaith, I thought, with Gaza coming about in this whole, it's supposed to break the Abrahamic Accord and the interfaith to pieces, because it's not doing anything for us. But still, it's going forth, and people still believe this is the solution. And of course, money. As you've mentioned, Mufti Saab, on many other occasions, it's all about the Benjamins.
Yeah, exactly. Again, but we get leaders according to our amal, right? We get the leaders that we deserve. And most of the leadership is, well, it's detached from the grassroots, I believe. When you look at the non-Muslim is upset with what's happening in Gaza. So, of course, we are upset, you know, with what's happening in Gaza. But our leadership, the heads of state and the leaders of Islamic organizations, they've come up with nothing other than letters and speeches of condemnation, but no real talk of unity of the Muslim, of the Ummah, and a proactive approach. Let's go there, Every country sends one plane, okay, and let's stop this genocide. And Israel has offered or suggested that they will allow their army, their military, to police Gaza after the ceasefire and try to kick out Hamas. But we need to have our Islamic army there to protect the people of Gaza from Israel, okay, and allow Hamas to finish what they started. They were the elected government. People forget that. They keep calling Hamas terrorists. But when they had the election, Hamas won the election fair and square. No one said that Hamas cheated in the election. They won the election. They have the right to lead, although they don't want to lead. They don't want to lead, but they have the right to lead since they won the democratic election that America and Israel wanted to put up there. They won it. And so now, how are you going to kick them out? If you kick them out of leadership, there's one thing. That's wrong. But to kick them out of the country, where are you going to kick them to? All right? They were born and raised there. So, and nobody supports this on our side, on the Muslim side. Okay? Israel said, we're going to do this. We're going to make a bigger Israel and this and that. Well, since we started a Islamic army several years ago with General Rahil, the retired general of Pakistan, at the lead, how come we can't send our army over there? We have a ceasefire now, so okay, we don't fight, no problem. But put them there and let them, like the UN always sends observers and protectors every time there's a conflict in a country. Why can't we send ours over there? But we're too busy just writing letters and statements of condemnation. That yes, we're witnessing a genocide in real time. Okay, so you acknowledge that. So let's get up and let's do something. Since when we become like Christians? The Christians only say we only have to believe, and we got gender. Okay, but a Muslim is not like that. We have to have works. If yes. There's no work, if there's no deeds, there's no gender for us.
And that's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's no intelligence like planning. So putting down a plan. I mean, just if you go back last week, the previous, where Mulana A.S. Hafidhullah, the Majlis, his son was kidnapped. And you just saw a whole load of lessons all of a sudden how to deal with such situations. Everyone was looking, okay, how is he going to respond to this here? But his gaze was totally on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a miracle really in South Africa that just in one day, he was the person, his son was returned already. But it wasn't just, you know, just dua, just there was an action plan. They went in and they said, this is what we're going to do to gain. And they then released. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you in accordance. And if you go back in the Quran Sharif, it is mentioned this. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. And under this verse, Mufti Shafi Saab Rahimullah writes the whole tafsir of it. You can, the listeners can check it in Mariful Quran. And he says that, look at this. He highlights and says, we can't just sit still and say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's courage. It was just after Uhud. Many were injured, fresh, just coming out with fresh injuries. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this meeting basically and says, now we have to go and attack the enemies once again. Sahaba came and they stood with their injuries. They gathered with whatever they could gather and they marched forth to Baytul. It was Hamraul Asad. They marched forth too. And Abu Sufyan was in charge at that time. He was sent with a whole load of shockwaves to know that they are coming. But they didn't sit still. After they put their plan together, that's when they said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. So I think something that is really to be, that we need to consider is putting action to our plans as well. The tragedy is we don't have a plan. He's just sitting and saying, yeah, it's all going to happen.
Well, we had done this, we in America, in New York, we had done this in the late 80s. Okay, there was on the block of Masjid Attaqwa, there was 10 different places that were selling crack cocaine, okay, making, I think it was $10,000 per day, okay, in business, each one. And it was, there was a lot of crime and everything. There was churches and businesses on the block, and no one could do anything. So we in the masjid, we got together, we contacted the police, and we said, we want these people, we want you to raid these places tomorrow, and we will come right behind you, okay? And after you raid the place, we will stand in front of the place and make sure that they don't reopen. Because that would always happen. The police would raid, and then 1 or 2 days later, they would reopen. So you raid the place, okay, and we will stand guard, all right? And we said for 40 days, all right? And this happened, and so the drug dealers, they said, okay, we'll just wait for after the 40 days. So it continued for about a year, all right? But during this time, Imam Siraj Wahaj, who was leading us, was saying, he quoted the hadith about the ship, that there were good people and bad people on the ship. Okay, and the bad people on the lower deck and the good people on the upper deck. And the bad people said, well, we have to keep going up to the upper deck to get the water and disturb these pious people. Why don't we just drill a hole in the boat, in the bottom of the boat, all right, and we'll be able to get the water. Mm. So the Prophet said that if the people in the upper part don't stop the people in the lower part, they will all drown.
Allah.
And that was our thinking the whole time. Mm. Okay? If we don't stop what's happening in Gaza, the whole Ummah is going to drown.
Allah.
We gotta put our foot down. We got to close that hole. Okay? We got to send troops there. Okay? And make sure it doesn't spread to Turkey and spread to Pakistan and spread to Burma and spread and spread and spread. But this is the beginning.
Mm.
This is the beginning. Mm. You see, and we have to be like that. If not, the whole Ummah is going to drown if we don't stop it.
As you said this year, I was just pondering over Tucker Carlson, who made the statement last week. He said, Taliban are achieving what the U.S. could not in drug rehabilitation. And the whole methodology, I was listening to what he said there. He said, absolutely, they don't allow a single dosage, because even the rehabs here, the way they function is they say that we've got to give them a certain dosage and then sort of wean them off it. But there, according to the Taliban, they say absolutely zero. And this is what the U.S. started. They went in and they wanted the poppy seeds. And while that was all happening, they got people addicted. And now Taliban is to clean up the mess. But as you've said so beautifully, as long as you're not going to sort out that mess, in whichever situation, whether it's drugs, this particular major crisis that the Ummah is in now, then, as you said beautifully, we are going to be just be sinking and sinking and sinking, and that's not a good outcome. So we have to really turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and urge our governments, if you're in Muslim countries such as Pakistan, to send in those Shaheed missiles. Let it reach there, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. We'll meet you tomorrow with a more relaxed conversation, inshallah. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.